Father, thank you for today and for this time to gather together with your people. Thank you for this time to open your word and to hear what it is that you have to say to us. I pray that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear, that you would help us to see your word and please use it to conform us to the image of your Son. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. All righty. So we started out last week kind of doing a brief introduction to the book of Joel. Which is where we're going now. So, I'm going to kind of review that a little bit, because I'm assuming that we went fast enough that everybody didn't grasp all of that. So, the book of Joel, if you remember back when we started talking about prophecy in general, we said that there's a specific time, and there's a specific place, and there's a specific audience. And we kind of have to understand what three are and how they fit so that we can understand what the book is about. Well, for every rule, there's an exception, right? This might be the exception. Part of the reason I say that is Joel is unique in that we don't get any kind of record of who was king when Joel was prophesying. So if you go look at the beginning of Isaiah, I'll just read it real quick for clarity's sake here. You get this little introduction, right? So Isaiah 1:1, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, the kings of Judah. That makes it easy to date Isaiah, right? We know basically when, at least Isaiah is telling us he was writing. If we look at Jeremiah or Ezekiel, we get the same kind of introduction. So Jeremiah, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, one of the priests who were in Anatoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the captivity of Jerusalem in the fifth month. And so again, right, we get all of these really clear ideas of when these guys are writing, and it's right there in the text. And that's terrific when we have it. We don't have that in Joel. So in Joel, it's kind of interesting when you go and you start reading commentaries and whatnot, trying to figure out when Joel was written. Because You get everything from basically about 900 BC, when the divided monarchy, when the monarchy split, and you now have a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom, about 900. Sometimes some people put him about there. Other people put him way, way down the timeline at like 400 BC, which would be like the time of Malachi, for example, the last of the prophets in the Old Testament, right before you get this gap that leads us into Christ. So, I tend to lean earlier on that spectrum. I think it's before the exile happens. If you remember us kind of briefly walking through kind of the big picture history of Israel. So, before Jerusalem falls is about when I think this prophecy happened. At the end of the day, it doesn't make a whole lot of difference. We'll dig into that just a little bit here too. Who's he prophesying to? That's a bit easier to answer, right? There is no mention of the Northern Kingdom here. It's one of the reasons why I think it's a little bit later, but not post-exile. Because of that, we can pretty well be assured that he's talking to Judah. And then we have the message, right? And so I'm going to kind of give you a two-part summary of the message, and then we'll talk about We'll dig into it here in a minute. In a nutshell, what we get in the first half of Joel, so Joel is a grand total of three chapters, 71 verses or something like that. So it's a pretty short book. The first half of the book through 2:17 basically is dealing with judgment against Judah in particular. It gets expanded a little bit toward the end, But at the end of the day, it's kind of judgment against Judah. And a call for repentance. But judgment is the overall idea. And it's focused more temporally. And then in the second half, we get kind of mercy, and this idea of the day of the Lord gets highlighted again in a more eschatological sense. And so we're going to leave that half for next time. The first half, though, we're going to deal with here today. So if you would, please open with me to Joel. We're going to read verses 1:1 to 2:17. This is Joel 1:1. The word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. Hear this, you elders, give ear, all inhabitants of the land. Has such a thing happened in your days, or in the days of your fathers? Tell your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children to another generation. What the cutting locust left, the swarming locust has eaten. What the swarming locust left, the hopping locust has eaten. And what the hopping locust left, the destroying locust has eaten. Awake, you drunkards, and weep, and wail, all you drinkers of wine, because of the sweet wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. For a nation has come up against my land, powerful and beyond number. Its teeth are lion's teeth, and it has the fangs of a lioness. It has laid waste my vine and splintered my fig tree. It has stripped off their bark and thrown it down. Their branches are made white. Lament like a virgin wearing sackcloth for the bridegroom of her youth. The grain offering and the drink offering are cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests mourn, the ministers of the Lord, the fields are destroyed, the ground mourns. Because the grain is destroyed, the wine dries up, the oil languishes. Be ashamed, O tillers of the soil. Wail, O vine dressers. For the wheat and the barley, because of the harvest of the field, because the harvest of the field has perished. The vine dries up, the fig tree languishes, pomegranate, palm, and apple. All the trees of the field are dried up, and gladness dries up from the children of man. Put on sackcloth and lament, O priests. Wail, O ministers of the altar. Go in, pass the night in sackcloth, O ministers of my God, because grain offering and drink offering are withheld from the house of your God. Consecrate a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land to the house of the Lord your God, and cry out to the Lord. Alas for the day of the Lord is near, and as destruction from the Almighty it comes. Is not the food cut off before our eyes, joy and gladness from the house of our God? The seed shrivels under the clods, the storehouses are desolate. The granaries are torn down because the grain has dried up. How the beasts groan. The herds of cattle are perplexed because there is no pasture for them. Even the flocks of sheep suffer. To you, O Lord, I call, for fire has devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and flame has burned all the trees of the field. Even the beasts of the field pant for you because the water brooks are dried up. The fire has devoured the pastures of the wilderness. Blow a trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Like blackness there is spread upon the mountain. A great and powerful people like there has never been before, nor will be again after them, through the years of all generations. Fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burns. The land is like the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, and nothing escapes them. Their appearance is like the appearance of horses, and like war horses they run. As with the rumbling of chariots, they leap on the tops of the mountains, like the crackling of a flame of fire, devouring stubble like a powerful army drawn up for battle. Before them, peoples are in anguish. All faces grow pale. Like warriors, they charge. Like soldiers, they scale the wall. They march, each on his way. They do not swerve from their paths. They do not jostle one another. Each marches in his path. They burst through the weapons and are not halted. They leap upon the city, they run upon the walls, they climb into the houses, and they enter through the windows like a thief. The earth quakes before them, the heavens tremble. The sun and moon are darkened, and the stars withdraw their shining. The Lord utters his voice before his army, for his camp is exceedingly great. He who executes his word is powerful, for the day of the Lord is great and very awesome. Who can endure it? Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He relents over disaster. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him? A grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, consecrate the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, even nursing infants. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep and say, spare your people, O Lord, and make not your heritage a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? This will be a happy one, right? I'm going to turn this off.